To show you.
Fwenster, you're being a real Terrence right now.
I only like halfway know how to use this microphone because my friend just kind of gave it to me.
Nice. Okay, free mic though.
Hey. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like their crappier one, which is why they just gave it to me.
Hey, that's the start of your low budget opera. Coming up right now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This will be my repo.
yep, absolutely.
And on that note, let's go ahead and get started, shall we? Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Yes, with a little glass vial.
Phil Acevedo.
That's Acevedo, not Sorvino.
And from the What Haunts You podcast, Carly.
Hi, happy to be here again.
Hey. Welcome back.
Carly,
it's been a very long time. Last time Carly was here, it was when Anthony was out with the vid. And we covered House of a Thousand Corpses, so this is vastly different.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not fucking dying. This is perfect.
However, they both have Bill Moseley in it.
Absolutely, a good thing to have in common too.
Absolutely. And what are we talking about that has Bill Moseley in it? You clicked on the title. We're talking about Repo: The Genetic Opera from 2008. And holy shit, guys. First of all, congratulating myself. Welcome to my birthday month. So sorry to do this to you, but we're here. We're going to talk about it. I'm so excited.
You get so many weeks this month, too. This is perfect.
Oh, yeah. This is my birthday mandate, and I've been wanting to dive into this one since Carly showed this movie to me. Oh, my God. I think in, like, 2020?
Yeah, something like that.
And since then, it has haunted me since. So I'm quite excited to discuss it. So on that note, Carly is going to kick us off with the IMDb synopsis and some credit information.
All right. A worldwide epidemic encourages a biotech company to launch an organ financing program similar in nature to a standard car loan. The repossession clause is a killer, however. So Repo was directed by Darren Lynn Bousman, based on screenplay by Terrence Zadunich and Darren Smith. That screenplay in turn was based on their short play, The Necro Merchant's Debt, again, also by Terrence Zadunich and Darren Smith. Pretty packed cast, so starring Alexa Vega, Paul Sorvino, Anthony Stewart Head, Sarah Brightman, Paris Hilton, Bill Moseley, and Terrence Zadunich.
Damn.
Carly, you can read. Way to go. Hey.
The reading straight off is more pressure to me for some reason. All right. So it came out in July of 2008. And it had a limited release November 7th of 2008. Its budget was $8.5 million, and in the box office it only made $188,126.
Woo!
Damn, that is not a lot of money.
I mean, this is not. Epitome of an Alex Webster special.
Absolutely, absolutely. I do like, you know what?
Yeah.
Probably one of the best IMDb synopses we've had, though. I kind of enjoy the...
Oh, yeah, I was just thinking that.
Clause is a killer.
You enjoyed, you enjoyed the pun? You enjoyed the punnery?
It's cute.
I quite enjoyed it.
Right.
It's an eight.
It's an eight?
Yeah, I would go with that.
Yeah, there you go. See, look.
All right. Let's dive into the history of Repo: The Genetic Opera, which has been through so many iterations. It's quite fascinating.
Really?
Yeah. So, in 1996, Darren Smith had a friend who was going through bankruptcy and whose possessions were going into foreclosure. So, he's taking this and inspired by someone's dramatic misfortune, Smith came up with the idea of a future where not only one's property, but also one's body parts could be repossessed.
Damn, he's like, how could this get worse?
Take this, compound it, make it worse. Smith and Terrence Zadunich collaborated ideas and plot lines to create the first version of Repo, titled The Necromerchant's Debt, which told the story of a grave robber in debt to a repo organ man. The Necromerchant's Debt started off as a two-person, 10-minute-long opera that Smith and Zadunich would perform as openers at rock shows. So they would just kind of... This is mostly in Los Angeles, by the way. So they would just kind of go...
Sounds like some LA shit, yeah.
Yeah, they would just, like, kind of do this little song and dance for 10 minutes in the rock circuit here in LA.
In the diviest bars with the scratchiest restrooms, absolutely. It's definitely something that's happening. Yeah.
So, this was further adapted into a one-act show with a full cast in 2002, and it premiered at the John Raitt Theater, also in 2002. After being such a success, Smith and Zadunich expanded on the universe to create all of the storylines that became Repo the Genetic Opera later in 2002. So, many changes were made gradually to the characters and the music throughout various incarnations all the way through 2005.
Alright.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it changes throughout the years. It's very fascinating.
It's like a love project. It's like labor. Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
A love project. That's different. Labor
love. A love project is known as a child.
Well, I guess.
One interpretation.
Not far off.
So. Many changes were made to the characters. For example, Roddy? I forget.
Roddy.
I think it was Roddy.
In the earliest performances, was not father to Luigi, Pavi, and Amber. Instead, he was a younger brother to Luigi and Pavi, while Amber was Luigi's daughter. And lyrics were adjusted to new arcs, and some songs were dropped altogether. But This Is Opera was cut out in an effort to change the direction of Mag's character. So that was a song that was included. And then this movie has so many things that, like, we did this, but then we decided not to do it. And then we included it on the DVD special.
Like, oh, shit. There was more. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need a director's cut of this. I stand by that statement so hard.
So, as a stage play still, it reached its peak as an off-Broadway production, where it piqued an interest of an up-and-coming director by the name of Darren Lynn Bousman.
So, still in those divey bars.
It's off-Broadway, so it's like it's off-Broadway adjacent. But still, that's I think that's pretty admirable. I lost my spot. So Bousman picked up enough clout from his work on a little-known franchise called Saw. And was able to produce a short 10-minute film to pitch the idea of Repo to film studios. For the cast of this short film, Bousman enlisted Shawnee Smith as Amber Sweet, then named Heather Sweet, Michael Rooker as the Repo Man, Kristen Fairley as Shiloh, and Zadunich, of course, as Grave Robber, and Jay LaRose as Poppy. So I don't know how they
Michael Rooker, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. So after being shopped around, and I'm going to assume a lot of yada yadas and a lot of turning their asses down, Repo was picked up by Lionsgate Pictures.
I was just going to say that Zydrate comes in a fill. in a me. Zydrate comes in a me.
That's okay. Weird.
Yeah, it does it now.
Oh God. Oh well. Let's carry on, shall we? With production underway, there were some casting changes from the short film. Darren Lynn Bousman originally refused to hold an audition for Paris Hilton for the role of Amber Sweet. He did not think she would be capable and feared media backlash or accusations of stunt casting. When he finally caved in, Paris came to the audition dressed, quote, perfectly for the part, and rocked the sound booth audition. After the audition, he was convinced she would play the role.
Didn't we have a story like this earlier this year, too? Where they were like, bitch, no. it was, Reba. Fucking Reba and Tremors, same thing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and then Reba came in, killed it, and they're just like, okay, yeah.
She is a single mom who works two jobs, who loves her kids, and never stops.
Wow. I thought you were like talking about like this year, like something big, but
no, this is Tremors.
Tremors, you know, back in the early 90s.
You know what else Paris Hilton was like killing back in this time? The Carl's Jr. commercials. She made everybody crave Carl's Jr.
You know what she also killed her in this era? House of Wax.
House of Wax.
Oh my god, yeah.
I think she was like the only good thing in that movie.
She was incredible, like, deeply underrated. I stand by that. That is actually a very good remake.
Yeah.
Very gruesome death too. Very gruesome death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's continue. In fact, many of the costumes worn by Amber Sweet and the support group members were Paris Hilton's own clothes. Interesting.
Ooh,
that's incredible that she just decided to like. She donated her clothes and she was just like so invested in this where she's just like, no, I'm gonna wear my own shit because I know how to look the part.
Yeah. So Anthony Stewart Head was chosen for his role as Nathan Wallace after Darren Bozeman had heard him sing in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer 6th season musical episode Once More with Feeling.
And that is me, once again, shoehorning in Buffy the Vampire Slayer into an episode.
He just had to.
Well, to be fair, he did do this. So it wasn't me, like, shoehorning. It did naturally occur.
Really happened.
It was
appropriate for the birthday, though.
Too. It was appropriate for the birthday pick. Anthony Stewart Head is also just an incredible, like, actor in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's one of my favorites. Absolutely love him, so...
Sick.
It was very weird to see.
I got more facts. Let's just keep going.
No. Sick. It's fine. I'm done.
Originally, a different actress was cast as Blind Meg, but due to the film's low budget, the actress dropped out and singer Sarah Brightman was chosen. When it came to filming, the entire set was built on one soundstage, and it led to cramped working conditions.
One stage? Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh.
Don't point out the typo. Alex Webster, you have a typo.
I do?
Yeah. And a missing comma.
I mean,
but anyways, you know what? We do it to Fwen all the time.
You relish in doing it to me.
Oh, we have a great time pointing out your typos.
They are pretty egregious.
Let's continue. The set caught fire at one point after leaves were blown onto an open flame, and Alexa Vega's hair almost got caught on fire after climbing through a tight hallway, also with an open flame. That
her
is
wig
insane.
Or her real hair?
I'm assuming her wig because she's bald.
Oh shit!
But that's terrifying as a concept.
Dang, that's nuts. But of course, this was a small set with originally and only 20 extras on the set. Zdunich, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce that
Zdunich.
Name. Zdunich helped. Zdunich himself even plays extra roles throughout the film. But while filming, the producers thought Repo was going to be a direct-to-DVD movie, but this later got changed when the film was announced for a limited release with little fanfare from Lionsgate.
Dun, dun, dun.
Just toss it in. Just like, yeah, we got a couple theater spots.
They're like, what's $8.5 million in 2008? Who gives a shit?
All right, so Repo, the genetic opera, was slotted for a limited theatrical release in November of 2008 and was released on DVD just a couple months later. The cast and the production team believed in the vision of the film, but they were unhappy with the promotional efforts, and so they took things into their own hands and went on a road tour. Repo, the road tour, went to 7 U.S. cities, accompanied by screenings and long Q&As with the cast members.
This is a whole, like... cultural phenomena that like I know very little about. I don't know if you can speak to any knowledge on this, Carly, which is why I gave you this section, but like it was pretty intense from what I understand.
Yeah, so the Rebo Road Tour was before my time in the Zadunich fan club. I don't know, whatever. But I went to the one for the second Devil's Carnival movie. And it was, I mean, it was really fun. The Q&A was really fun. Barry Boswick was there. That was really cool. But I know that there are some people who fully, like, traveled to, like, go to several different stops along the tours and stuff. And people go hard for it.
Damn, okay.
Okay.
And this is the straight-to-DVD era, too, so I'm sure it found some traction there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, too. It went to DVD very quickly.
Oh, Lionsgate.
Yeah, so because of the tour and the quick release, the quick DVD release, people had access to this movie quickly, and word of mouth, I mean, it blew up, basically, into a cult movie. Eventually, independent screenings began in, like, 2009. This was pretty often a midnight movie, and sometimes they would even do, like, a full Rocky Horror-style shadow cast, which I have actually gone to one of those before, I will admit.
I remember you telling me about that, and, like, because I remember when we were watching the movie, there was, like, a call and response, like, thing that I accidentally, like, stumbled into.
Yeah, I wish I remember what it was, but you did. You said one of them.
It was Don't Shoot the Messenger when he shoots the guy who tells him that he's dying. And I'm like, don't shoot the messenger, dude. And then you're like, that's literally a call and response from the shadow cast. Oh,
it's just awesome. So perfect. It definitely has that in Rocky Horror, in common with Rocky Horror, that they are kind of those midnight movie musical cult kind of following thing that is a whole experience and not just a movie. And so after the initial theatrical release, after the DVD sales, fan support has caused Rebo to be played in select theaters basically throughout 2009, well into 2014, and kind of through today even. After its limited release, it grossed $53,684 in its opening weekend, $6,711 average per theater. The film's full 11-theater release earned $146,750 in the U.S. and an additional $41,376 internationally, for a total of $188,000.
You give her so many numbers, Webster. What do you do?
Why would you do that, Webster? Why would you do that?
Way to haze the guest. Wow. I feel
it. You know, initially this was supposed to be for Anthony, so bear that in mind.
Okay.
I'm aware. I can tell when, like, the numbers are that sequential. I'm like,
Yeah, there's a lot of them right in this little bullet point. Okay, so going for it. A total of $188,126 worldwide against the $8.5 million budget.
Woo. Damn.
Nice.
Kind of a rough one.
Yeah. Well, also, they only had 11 theaters. So, there is that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's to account for the stuff that happened throughout the years afterwards anyways, right? So,
yeah, that's true.
All right, well, it's a little glass vial time. Let's go. Well, the film received generally mixed to negative reviews, with critics polled on the review aggregator website, of course, Rotten Tomatoes, one of our favorites. These guys give it 37%, which, not great. But the site's critical consensus reads, bombastic and intentionally gross. Repo, the genetic opera, has a unique style but lacks the wit and substance to be involving.
Boo.
Yeah, I disagree.
Oh, we're going to have some discussion later for sure. Well, Tasha Robinson for the AV Club, one of my favorites from back in the day.
Ugh. That's why I included it.
I remember the AV Club.
Warms my heart every time. Said, quote, one of the main issues with Repo, the genetic opera, is that nearly every aspect of it goes on too long. The songs are generally overextended, which is a particular problem given that most of them are also atonal and dull, either chanted or seemingly assembled from a series of clunky, ill-fitting, barely rhyming lines. Whoa, and ultimately, I spent the vast majority of the film either bored or squirming with discomfort over the cheap gore, the arrhythmic songs, and the phenomenally bombastic performances. Damn, she ripped that bitch apart. Okay.
Well, shoot. Ouch.
So, This was interesting because I watched a very long essay, the one that I sent you, Carly.
I watched it too.
That broke down like how this is, they really tried to format this movie like an opera where like it's like dialogue that's spoken but sung. And I don't think everyone is supposed, like, everyone kind of knew that. Like, no one's, like, not everyone's been to the opera and they know what opera is supposed to sound like. And they tried to do that and also combining it with rock. And, like, it was a very bold choice.
For sure.
Very ambitious. Very ambitious.
Translating that medium into into another medium is very tricky.
Yes.
Room for error, for sure.
Room for improvement, also. I'll give it that.
Well, meanwhile, of course, on our favorite Letterboxd, Repo has a 3.1 out of 5 rating out of course, 23,000 reviews. So, that's a very lot of praise for that one. There you go. Well, user known as Cowiboji said in their 5-star review, forcing all your loved ones to watch this movie is a thankless job. Somebody's got to do it.
Me with you guys.
Or your podcast host. Yeah.
You guys are my loved ones. I'm forcing you to watch this movie.
Kara with 3.5 stars says, I love garbage. Oh boy. Emma with 5 stars doesn't pull any punches, saying, quote, if you like your movies to look like a Panic at the Disco music video from 2006 with a touch of rock opera and Phantom of the Paradise, then this movie's for you. If you don't like this movie, maybe you should consider getting a new hobby. Cold. And finally, of course, Rex12 says simply in their 1-star review, I have a blood disease.
What does it mean? Who knows?
1-star. All right. In regards to the possibility of sequel, Vega has been quoted as saying, from the very, very beginning, we always talked about a prequel or sequel to this film. And it's hard because as of right now, we all want to do it. But, you know, it didn't really do as we hoped. We didn't really have a lot of support. But we're hoping that the fans will come back and it'll be an underground cult classic that will grow. And that will eventually spark us to do another. Damn.
I know.
Well, and she was... That was then... she's the Spy Kids girl, right?
She is the Spy Kids girl.
Oh. Okay.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, did you just, like, put
that
I'm just, together?
Yeah, absolutely.
Spy Kids Machete and Repo the Genetic Opera. That's a
holy shit
arsenal right there. Anyways,
yeah.
Bowsman also indicated interest, stating, I would love to follow up Repo and finish the story because it was conceived as a 3-part movie. But this movie is all about support from the internet and support from fans. This is not a movie where you'll see billboards or bus stop ads or trailers on TV. Yeah, because this had no idea about this unless it was in Reddit comment. So,
yeah.
Makes sense.
Well, this was the middle of the trilogy, basically.
Right.
So.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
There was supposed to be a prequel and there was supposed to be a sequel. Sequel, so.
Huh. I can kind of see that. That makes sense.
Okay. All right.
Well, however, in a video posted on YouTube, it was revealed that the creators no longer control the answer to the question of a future sequel, since they no longer have the ownership of the franchise, thus driving Bowsman and Zdunich to make The Devil's Carnival, which we will not be covering. Por qué? What's wrong? I never heard of this movie before.
I think you should cover it. That's my input.
What's The Devil's Carnival?
It is Carly, would you like to explain?
Explain it.
The music is written by Terrence Dunich and then his like newer partner in songwriting, Sar Hendelman, and it is basically a group of sinners die and go to hell, and hell is a carnival where sinners are basically subjected to new challenges and situations based on Aesop's fables that relate to kind of whatever their life looked like. And I think I this is maybe a hot take, but I think it's better than Repo.
Ooh, that is a hot take.
Okay. But I also am biased for sure. I have a line from it tattooed on my body. Like I
You do?
Yes, I do.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, on my leg.
revealed live on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We ready for this? Are we doing it? Are we going with the play-by-play?
We're going to do a little play-by-play because this movie deserves to be discussed at length. But, yeah, let's do a little play-by-play. And because I feel like this movie, we can't do it justice describing it visually. I feel like you need to see it yourself. I'm just going to say that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really like movies like this.
Which, no.
Yeah.
I think that's a very kind way to express your thoughts on this movie.
let's break it down. Yay!
Break it down now, y'all. All right, so by the year 2056, it's coming up, guys, an epidemic of organ failures has devastated the planet and wiped out 99% of the human population. And the mega corporation GeneCo provides organ transplants on a payment plan.
I can see this happening by 2026.
Yeah. It's entirely feasible.
It's like if you could use Klarna, but for a new liver.
There is a part in the movie, it's like really quick, blink and you miss it, that says that they've been, that GeneCo's been a thing since 2030.
Oh, shit. It's coming up,
closer,
guys.
To that. Yeah, we're closer to that.
Ominous. So those
articles of incorporation right there.
Again,
just be careful.
I'm just saying, like, we are two steps away from you being able to, like, after pay your medical bills. I'm so serious. So, clients who miss payment plans are hunted down by repo men, which are skilled assassins who, quote, repossess the organs. They repossess the organs by killing you. It's kind of implied that they use these organs in other people later.
Hmm. Yeah, I would imagine so.
They capture the organs and then take them back, which just seems unsanitary by thinking about it.
They should at least mark them down a little bit, you know?
Right. They
yeah,
should
discount it.
They need discount to be organs. Like, it's like, yeah, it needs to be marked as used, you know?
Yeah.
So, the CEO of GeneCo, Roddy Largo, discovers he is terminally ill. So this is, like, all in this, like, beginning opening sequence of this movie that is, like, kind of told via comic book strip.
Yeah, they have these weird comic interludes, but I do love, like, even comic-wise, Paul Sorvino still looks like a badass.
Totally.
Like, just drawn out. I'm just like, damn, Paulie. All right.
Yeah.
I love Paul Sorvino. R.I.P.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Yeah, he's the man.
R.I.P. indeed. So, Roddy's children, Luigi, Pavi, and Amber, bicker over who will inherit GeneCo, but Roddy believes none of them are worthy heirs and instead plans to give his fortune to 17-year-old Shiloh Wallace, the daughter of his ex-fiancé, Marnie.
Oh, this dramatic? Okay.
This is convoluted. This love triangle, this love square.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Shiloh is, of course, Alexa Vega.
Of course.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Shiloh is Alexa Vega.
What was the character's name in Spy Kids? I have no idea.
Carmen.
Judy and Carmen.
Yeah. So, Shiloh has inherited a rare blood disease from Marnie that requires her to stay indoors, though she longs to see the outside world, and frequently sneaks out to see it.
Just Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's or the Little Mermaid. It's Ariel.
Yeah, right? It's a very bloody Ariel.
Yeah. Well, and she's got the daddy issues that Ariel has, too.
That's true.
Yeah, so Shiloh's overprotective father, Nathan, believes that he accidentally killed Marnie with the treatment that he created for her illness. But what actually happened later is revealed that Roddy, in his jealousy, secretly swapped out the cure with a poison and then blackmailed Nathan, promising that he wouldn't arrest him if he agreed to become the head repo man. Although Shiloh believes that he is a doctor and he's helping people. So lots of lies in this family.
So many lies.
Yeah, and so he's sneaking around doing that, and then one night Shiloh secretly visits Marnie's tomb and runs into Grave Robber, who's Terrence Dunich, who's digging up bodies to get Zydrate, the euphoric and addictive painkiller that he sells on the street to keep up with his GeneCo payments. Roddy lures Shiloh to GeneCo's fair with the promise of a cure for her disease. There, she meets Blind Mag, an opera singer and Gene Coe's celebrity spokesperson. And when he lures her there, he says the creepiest thing ever that a man can say to a young girl, and that is, who says that dad needs to know anything? I just need to, like, emphasize right. that is a line in this movie.
It's a line in this limo that he lured her into and was just like, who says dad needs to know anything? And then you just want to, like, die a little? Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
Just so gross. But yeah, so she goes and she meets Blind Mag. Mag was born blind and was given surgically enhanced eyes by Gene Coe at the cost of indefinite employment, although she soon plans to resign. The grave robber helps Shiloh escape the fairgrounds, and they encounter several of his customers, including the surgery-addicted Amber Sweet, where we get the best song in the movie.
I was going to say, where we get the fucking banger of the song, Zydrate Anatomy. Yes. Yes.
Paris Hilton, right?
Yeah. Yep. Amber is Paris Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Shiloh, while they're there, learns that Mag's eyes are set for repossession when she resigns, and that Amber will probably replace her as Gene Coe's spokeswoman. And then the Gene cops arrive, and Shiloh quickly returns home to her room before Nathan can notice that she's gone.
That was so fun. Like, she barely makes it up the stairs before he comes in from, like, the secret hiding place behind the freaking, like, oh my god, I'm blanking on the word. The fireplace.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody is just, like, going in and out of the front door of that.
No. People haven't walked through the front door in years.
Well, let's continue here. Roddy hires Nathan to repossess Mag's eyes, but Nathan refuses, citing that Mag was Marnie's best friend. And infuriated, Roddy vows to have Nathan taken out, like any Don should. Mag visits Shiloh and reveals that she is her godmother, and that Nathan had told her Shiloh died with Barney. She cautions... I know, right? She cautions Shiloh to not make the same mistake that she once did.
This is where we get another banger of a song, Chase the Morning.
Yeah.
And Nathan arrives and forces Mag out after she scolds him for lying and incarcerating Shiloh. Meanwhile, Roddy writes his will. That's five times. Yeah, I know, right? ready to make Shiloh his sole beneficiary. Gold, as you would say.
It's the song. Sorry.
The song.
I was meant to take all the songs out, but that one snuck in.
It was a song. So, nevertheless, Roddy invites Shiloh to the opera. Nathan heads to the opera to find her, pursued by Gene Cops. Very cool. Gene Cops. I like the name of that. Who quickly dispatches.
Quick, we're on the run from the Gene Cops.
They're actually just a bunch of guys, first name Gene. That's it.
And they're wearing,
I was just thinking that.
And they wear all denim.
Yep. Yes, absolutely the denim.
It's just the name is Gene and their badge number. So that's how they identify themselves.
Yeah. And they're like all Gene episode. From Bob's Burgers.
Oh my god.
Just a group of cops that are all Gene that's from comedy. Bob's Burgers. Oh, man.
That's funny. So Amber makes her stage debut, but her performance is ruined when her transplanted face falls off.
This is so Ooh. Fun.
The face off, as Nick Cage would say in the 1997 classic Face Off.
Thank you.
Mag completes her final performance, but deviates from the song's grand finale, denouncing the Largo family and gouging out her eyes in an act of defiance.
That was actually a very cool scene. I like that scene.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And what her little 17 song was somewhere in the middle of that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because I was like, damn, that's a very different song than like the rest of the ones
that we've had so far. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that Joan Jett was in it for that song?
Yeah, was that her?
It was, yes.
In the guitar?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I was falling asleep during this part, but then I'm like, is that fucking Joan Jett?
It just falls back.
I know, he openly admits he's falling asleep. He's like, okay.
Roddy cuts the cord, suspending Meg, impaling her on a fence, but assures the panicky audience that Meg's death was staged as part of the show. So Shiloh is then approached by a repo man and attacks him with a shovel, revealing that he is Nathan. She angrily confronts Nathan for lying to her about his profession. On stage, Ryder reveals that Nathan has been poisoning Shiloh's medicine in an attempt to keep her safe from the outside world after being unable to cope with the loss of Marnie.
Well, so it's just a tale of like fictitious disorder by proxy.
Well, as his disease rapidly worsens, Roddy offers Shiloh Jinko if she kills her father. Very so dramatic. When she refuses.
This is an opera. This is a fucking opera.
That's true. Roddy uses the last of his strength to fatally shoot Nathan and dies after disowning his children.
He shoots him and then he just keels over and dies. Like, come on.
Yeah. Well, after a tearful farewell to her father, Shiloh leaves, deciding that her father's actions do not dictate her future. Message. Well,
that's good. That was good.
Shiloh flees, leaving Jinko with no legal heir. Amber inherits the company instead and auctions her fallen face to charity, which Pavi wins. Ooh, capitalism, baby. All right.
The evil wins.
Yep. Every time. That was, of course, Repo, the Genetic Opera. Well, we burned through that one. It's a much faster story without the songs.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It's a relatively quick story, but then if all of that was sung, if we had to go through that singing the whole time, that would take a lot longer.
Oh, yeah. You know me and my solos, so obviously we would have...
I know you're a skilled musician. Yeah, right? Skilled vocalist.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's why I got to have the gain so far down, you know?
Oh, man.
All right, guys. This is going to be a very short episode, but that's okay. We have a couple things to talk about in the meantime. I'm very curious on your very specific thoughts, but let's start with something positive. Carly, what are your thoughts on Repo the Genetic Opera?
Yeah. Am I the only something positive? I need to know that before I start talking.
No.
Very possibly. Just speak from your heart. You're good. You're good. You're safe. Okay. You're safe here.
I think
you're good. You're good.
Yeah. I think this movie is so much fun. Is good a word I would use? I don't know, to be honest. I'm not going to sit here and say it's like the most magnificent work of art, but I am going to say I've never been in a bad mood watching this movie. Like, I turn it on, and it's like, I'm in it, I'm ready to go, and I'm excited. And sometimes that's what I want, you know? Sometimes that's all I really need from a movie. And so I am a big fan. I do think that it is my least favorite of, like, Terrence Zadunich's things, though.
Oh, really? How many things does he have?
Yeah.
So he has...
I'm curious now.
Yeah, so he has this movie... Then he has The Devil's Carnival and the sequel to The Devil's Carnival. And then he has his, like, current music project that's, like, maybe still going on, maybe not. I don't know, COVID and, you know, whatever. And I think that this one is, you know, I think that this one is, like, truthfully the weakest of all of them, even though it's, like, where a lot of people's starting points for everything was. But mm-hmm. I think it's so fun. I don't know. I honestly don't know how you could not enjoy yourself watching this movie. Unless you really don't like gore, I guess. But I... don't have that problem.
She has the opposite of that problem.
I do.
More gore, please.
Yeah.
So, Anthony, what are your thoughts?
Oh, me. Yeah. Me. I wasn't as big a fan. But, so here's my caveat here. I realized with this movie in particular, I'm just not a musical theater guy. It's just not that guy. So, I realized this because while I wasn't bored or anything like that, I was still kind of picking apart the movie a little bit. I was definitely watching it and, like, I don't know, the opera consistent singing thing didn't really do it for me. But I realized when I was watching video essays on this afterwards, I'm like, oh, the way people speak about this, there's obviously, they have that Rocky Horror kind of connection to it. They have that musical theater enthusiasm and, like, it really is, if you're in it, it's fucking brilliant. Like, you're gonna love it. But if it's not your thing, it's not gonna change your mind. So, I unfortunately fall on the, you know, doesn't quite make me like musicals more. But, I mean, it is creative. I appreciate that aspect of it. I didn't like the comic book stuff. I don't know, that stuff kind of threw me. I really wish I would have actually seen those scenes happen. Even if they were quick or like a little trailer thing.
Feel like that might have been a budget thing.
I think so too, which unfortunately, I mean, it's hard to knock the film for, but because it was so cool. Like the way they conceptually talk about that stuff, yeah. I was like, damn, I would love to see, like, yeah, please a new story or something like that. But I mean, you know, it has a good cast. It's definitely got some great moments. That Little Glass Vial song is fucking awesome. I love that shit. I love the 17 song too. That one was like, I was like, oh, fuck, what's happening here? Why is this happening right now? So, yeah, there's definitely moments in the movie where I was like, I can see why people just are head over heels for this one. But I really am not a musical theater guy. I know this now. Literally, I think maybe the closest thing would be like, Tim Burton, Sweeney Todd. Like, no, wait.
Well, that's very much a musical, though. That's like fully a musical.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. That's kind of like that's the max.
Which and I'm not, gives me not, hope you know. That there are exceptions to the rule because, like, so Anthony has never seen Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What? Not.
Shut
really?
Up.
I'm not.
That's really? Not allowed. That's not allowed. I'm sorry.
So he's sorry to put you on blast, Anthony. I didn't.
When are we going? When are we all going?
Yeah, dude.
I'm down to make a time of it. Honestly. I
want you, and it's something that I want you to experience. However, when I explain this to you, it turns into a we're old thing because it starts at fucking midnight. Like, I understand, like, it's a midnight movie.
So old.
Just get it together for one night. It's worth it. I will drive up there.
But you want me to enjoy it. I'll be all tired and like, what? Yeah.
Well, Tim Curry.
You'll be drunk and, like, you'll be drunk on alcohol and drunk on Tim Curry. That's all you need to get through it. Truly.
That's literally all the energy you
also,
need.
It
to
is
fuel
it,
up.
It, it, Rocky Horror. I know we're talking about Repo, but very quickly, Repo is Rocky Horror is a quick 90-minute movie. It's not that long.
Okay,
but there's usually the pre-show is like kind of long sometimes, but it's worth it. It's worth the lack of sleep.
Okay, if someone can drive me there,
I would agree.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll put that one as a bookmark for coming up.
See, but, there you go.
Yeah.
So, not to put him on blast, but he's never seen Rocky Horror, and I think that is a good combination of, like, it's so much better than this.
It is. Yeah. It is. I 100% agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, see, but I think that's why, I mean, I do appreciate what this movie offers, though. I like grungy, kind of, like, offbeat stuff like this. This makes sense. It's just, you know, the delivery wasn't for me. But, yeah, that's generally my thoughts on it. Again, I would like to see more of the animated stuff actually played out differently. And I love the cast. The cast is fucking awesome. Like, even if the exaggerated movie musical acting didn't always work, but when it worked, it was kind of hilarious, which I appreciate. So, yeah. What you guys think? Phil?
Okay. All right. Okay, all right. I don't even know where to begin. I would say, all right, I love Rocky Horror Picture Show. I really do. I own it in a very, very special edition Blu-ray copy. I love Phantom of the Paradise, but I hated this.
Oh my gosh. Hated it. Hated it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. No, this was tough for me. I couldn't do it. It's not really my thing.
I knew it was a tough one. I didn't get a text message from everyone saying, watch the movie.
it's brave. It's bold. But it's also cringe. I think this definitely catered to a specific type of folk out there. Maybe the emo folk out there, which is something that I never did. I never really partook in it. Panic at the Disco sucks, and so does this movie. I felt like this was directed... with all the comic book strip exposition dumps, I seriously thought, I was like, dude, I have to look up the director, because I seriously felt like this is directed by the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. What's his name? Joe Rogan's cousin?
Gerard Way?
Gerard Way, yeah. I was like, dude, did this fool direct it? Let me look it up. And then, yeah, it wasn't. I was disappointed that it wasn't. this looked like an Evanescence music video, which I believe she should sue
You think Amy Lee herself needs to shoe Karen Zdunich? Yeah.
Aesthetically, this is all me, and you guys are making a mockery of this shit.
However, I seriously felt like if my boy David Cronenberg got his hands on this story, he would have produced something very, very exquisite.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Phil, yes. You fuck. That was actually a very good point. Oh.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. This movie, oh man, this movie walked. All right, let me just say this right now. Repo walked so that Suicide Squad 2016 could run.
Ooh. Oh. Oh. Wow.
Oh, that was a shot.
That there's some animosity here.
No. Honestly, yeah, it wasn't really my thing. I would say Goth Paris Hilton, though. Yeah. It was a nice sight to see, actually. Yeah, I liked it. There was like two songs that I really enjoyed, but the rest not. Like, I was just like, okay. All right, let's go.
Too many songs.
Yeah, some of the songs were kind of cool, but a lot of them were not, in my opinion.
It's an opera.
Yeah, I get it. But, you know, I admire the boldness and the overall take on it. Hey, they did it. They made it happen. And I'm sorry.
Concept.
And Zdunich, I admire his courage. I admire his fucking passion. And he made it happen. You know, I love passion like how I did with Skinamarink. You know, I may not have liked the final product or the execution, but I admire the fact that you're very passionate about this project and you went all in. I'm pretty sure Zdunich made some extraordinary sacrifices to make it happen, and he's got all my respect for that.
And he found an audience.
And he found an audience. Yeah. So it wasn't for me. I honestly kind of hated it, but yeah, hey, dude, like, hey, respect to you.
So my thoughts are pretty much exactly parallel Carly's. This movie is it good? No. Do I enjoy myself watching? Do I enjoy the experience watching it? Yes. I think that the aesthetic is very much giving Evanescence meets Panic at the Disco music video circa 2006. The whole thing's blurry. I get that.
Yeah. Very blurry.
Getting beyond that. Just like the world building and the aesthetic and like the story, I find very evocative.
Yeah.
Are all the songs good? Huh? Are all the songs good? No. Is it an opera and you kind of just have to deal with it? Yes. So I do think, like, are there pros and cons to this movie? Yes. Like, again, also what Anthony said, the cast, freaking incredible. Paris Hilton, I think, is incredibly underrated as an actress. Yeah. And I think she did great in this, and she worked with what she was given.
Oh, man.
Yes, Phil?
No. It's just
great wardrobe.
Great. Yeah. I'm just saying, if a big positive of what I have to say is Paris Hilton, then that's saying a lot about this movie.
He was like, don't make me say it, Bill.
I know. Bill. I'm holding it. I could explode, but I'm not. I could explode like the way I did with Godzilla 1998, but I'm not. No. I'm not gonna do what everyone thinks I'm gonna do.
I will say, and we're gonna get into this in like the next question right now, my thoughts on the movie are a little bit tainted now that I know that Terrence Zdunich is a little bit of a creep.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that too. That makes me not like this even more. I totally forgot. Thank you for bringing that up, Webster. Now I really don't like this movie even more. Like,
So, for those at home, so like he made his personality being the grave robber in a lot of like press stuff and like just being like. Like, talking about how, like, it's just, like, what's not to love? I got to make out with hot chicks. Like, he got a little creepy about it.
Yeah.
I think the cult fanfare kind of went to his head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that, like, I'm not, like, fully in the fan spaces anymore for, like, kind of the reasons we're talking about. And, but, like, from when I think I was, like, more involved in, like, online, like, fan community around his work, I think part of it is also that, like, there are a lot of fans who are, like, egging on that behavior from him. Yes. And, like, playing right into it. Like, there's a lot of thirst in that fandom, and, like, I get it. I'm not gonna pretend I don't get it. But, like, ew, also, like, we have this information now that's, like, not great, and I do think that, like, people are really intensely, like, committed to him as, like, a creator in a way that is a little interesting.
The word parasocial comes to mind, where yeah. there's a lot of people who develop parasocial relationship, and he plays into it.
Yeah, well, and they do so much, I say they because of, like, the person he does his, like, newer stuff with, but they do so much fan interaction with their newer projects. Like, I have spent, like, several hours just, like, hanging out with him before I, like, knew kind of the stuff that came out in the last few years about him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And, like, they do, like, auctions, like, for fundraising for, like, Zoom calls with them where you can just, like, be on Zoom with them for a little while. They did there's a board game that they made, and they did, like, game nights that you could do. And, like, so a lot of their stuff is also so interactive, which makes you feel like it is not a parasocial relationship when it still, like, very much is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. He reminds me so much of this theater kid I used to make fun of a lot in high school. I swear. Christ. The more I hear about this guy, the more I just keep thinking of it, like, holy shit, dude.
Like, do I think that, like, there are some vibes there that are unsettling? Yes. But also, like, can I take those glasses off and enjoy this movie? Yes.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and I think, like, maybe a hot take, but even, like, the most of the worst things I've heard about him are, like, he kind of seems like he's just, like, a normal guy, and guys can kind of suck. Like, no offense to, like, present company, but, like, just, you know, a lot of the behavior people talk about is stuff that, like, is not cool, but, like, doesn't stand out to me, which is, like, not okay. None of that is, like, good, but it's honest, and, like,
kind of par for the course for somebody at his age in 2008, maybe.
Yeah, well, and I think also, like, where, you know, I think that, like, if I were to stop enjoying this movie that I, like, own and have owned for several years, and I'm not really, like, even giving anyone money at this point if I watch it, like, mm-hmm. it would just be taking something away from me, and, like, how many other things would I then have to get rid of, because, like, so many major creators in our world, like, have done such worse things.
That so you guys sense. Are trying to separate the artist from the art, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's ultimately what it boils down to. I also think, like, taking it back to Zadunich, like, I think as a creator and, like, as someone with a following, there gets to a point where you kind of have to take, like, social responsibility for how your fans, like, knowing how your fans feel about you in terms of, like, a parasocial way, and, like, kind of change your behavior accordingly. Like, if you, because, like, he plays into the thirstiness of it.
Totally. I was about to say, not play into it. Yeah.
And he absolutely plays into the thirstiness of everyone being horny for Grave Robber.
Yeah.
And I think that can be, especially with, like, younger, more impressionable fans, especially back in the day and, like, the early hours of the internet, or, like, mm-hmm. a fandom on the internet, where people were just, like, they, like, the discourse wasn't there yet.
Not a lot of nuance. Yeah. Not a lot of nuance.
No, the collective, yeah. The collective internet brain cell didn't realize what was going on.
Totally. And I think that a lot of this, too, I think, like, with anything, it's, like, when did you see it versus when did you find out that this person was, like, maybe not a great person? Mm-hmm. Because I think if I watched this movie today and, like, read that info the same day I watched the movie for the first time, I don't know that I would feel like I do about it. You know what I mean? I think that would really impact it. But it's when these things already, like, have had their hooks in you for so long that mm-hmm. I think it does become a lot harder to, like, step away from it.
Yeah, I have, like, I watched The Shining how many times before I learned Cooper was a piece of shit?
Yeah.
Right. And, like, I'm still probably going to watch it again. Like, and I, mm-hmm. you know, it's is it good? I don't know. Probably not. But, like, I don't know. You know, I'm not here to be perfect. I don't know.
I can say the same thing about, you know, I hate to bring him up, but dude, Kanye back in the day made, I was a big fucking Kanye fan, but then
I used to be a big Kanye fan.
Yeah. So like I learned and, but hey dude, when fucking like Registration pops up, I'm going to listen. I'm going to tune in. I'm going to roll up my windows, you know, make sure no one's around me, but I'm fucking, I'm going to jam out.
It's like the scene in Office Space. Just
exactly like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, on the Kanye front, you know, from Life of Pablo on, I'm like, he can't make anything to bring me back.
Well, yeah, honestly, I think his last good album was like 13 years ago. So
yeah,
I ain't listening to his new shit.
Yeah.
Now, Kanye did a Repo Opera, though. Very conflicting. Very conflicted. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
You just might. We're dropping. We're actually calling out like his new work. We're predicting it now.
Right? He's like, listen, I heard Zedunius was a piece of shit, but I'm going to tell you, I'm a bigger piece of shit and I can make
it.
Well, and he would be like the god, like, Jinko guy figure. Like, that would be who he would write himself as, like how his parents wrote himself as Grave Robber.
He'd be Nathan, he'd be the Grave Robber, he'd be the whole fucking thing.
One-man show
of Kanye.
Kanye, the genetic opera.
There you go. That's good.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, no. Yeah, good discussion, guys. So we kind of talked through everything else, so I'm going to just jump right into some fun questions.
All right.
So you have found yourself in the not-so-distant future and you desperately need one of your vital organs replaced. What is it, and how long until Jinko finds you to recollect?
So distant future.
Oh. Damn. And one of your organs needs to get replaced?
Yeah. It's a vital organ. I mean, you can also play around with that if you'd like.
I was gonna say, what about a body part?
Body part's fine.
No, I'm not gonna go with that. No.
It's vital organs.
Yeah, vital organ. How about that? Let's keep it clean. Vital organ here.
Oh, okay. You want to keep it clean
in the episode about Repo? Yeah.
In the episode about Repo.
Now you got standards, huh?
Now I got standards.
Well, I got one. Okay. For me, you guys have all known me. You hung out with me. You partied a lot. I have the tiniest bladder in the world. You know, I'm definitely getting that bladder replaced if it is an option at some point, and it's safe. But I am also very bad with spending money, so at some point, they are going to come for me. Mm-hmm. Probably after buying like a very unnecessary like tablet upgrade. That I'm like, wait, but I wanted this, and I want to keep peeing regularly.
You bought the next Zelda game.
There you go. Hey, hold on a second, all right? I'll pee a lot if I... No. Zelda stays. No, they just literally just, like they just track my food habits, and it's seriously, as soon as, like, the repo thing comes through, just find me in the pisser. That's it. That's all that happens. I'm done. They just leave me there. Tablet still in hand because I am sitting down on the pisser reading Reddit. That's it.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. All right, what you got? Who's next?
I can go if you guys need. If you need time to think.
Sure, yeah. Go for it. I have one, but.
Okay, you guys have partied with me. You guys have. We've pulled some all-nighters, and I'm gonna need my liver. So. I need my liver so I can drink more, so I can drink a lot, keep drinking, right? But once I find out that the Gene cops are on my way, I'm just gonna be like, back off, Gene, and I'm gonna get really drunk, and I'm going to make a run for it, and I'm gonna escape. I'm gonna run, and I'm gonna meet with instead of Paul Sorvino, how about Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos? I'm like, Paulie, hey, you gotta get me out of here. And he's like, all right, get in the car, chief. We're getting the fuck out of here. We're running away from these Gene cops. We're running away, me and Paulie, and Paul Sorvino, Gene cops, the creepy guy that made this movie. They're all after me, right? Except the creepy guy who made this movie is not just looking for my bladder. He's my liver. This guy's looking for like my whole damn body because he wants to do some creepy shit with it, you know. So like I'm running away. I'm running away, and all of a sudden, me and Paulie, we run into freaking Kanye. Kanye is like, hey man, what's up? I got a hiding spot right over here. I was like, all right, Kanye, for sure, man. By the way, I love Late Registration, man. That's a great album still. So all of a sudden, Kanye double fucking backstabs me and Pauly, and he was working with the other creepy guy that made this movie to begin with, dude. So it's I'm gonna leave it at a cliffhanger note. I'm gonna leave this story in a comic book form exposition cliffhanger note. Will Phil survive not just one but two creeps? We'll find out next issue of this comic book, apparently. Comic book opera?
Comic book opera.
Whatever the hell this is. Yeah,
that's
it.
Funny.
All right. You guys have partied with me.
I was real quick. The label for that story, Phil, just right now, that's Phil's Twisted Dark Fantasy right there.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
Welcome to my
that
twisted world.
That had like a Shia LaBeouf live to it.
Oh, wow.
So, you guys have all partied with me. If you've swam in the same vicinity as me, gone to the beach or at a pool, you know I sunburn so fucking quick.
Okay.
So I am getting my skin replaced.
Oh my god.
It's an organ.
Wow.
Okay, fair.
It's an organ.
And it is vital. It's a vital organ.
It's such a vital organ. And it's, I think I'm going to take so good care of it to the point that, like, I'm going to turn into Cassandra from Doctor Who. which, for those of you, anyone, she basically turns into, like, just a big piece of skin. She's so old because she just needs, and, like, she needs to be moisturized 24/7. It's a very, very weird thing. But for those of you who know, you know. Point is at some point, I am going to be so invested in skincare and protecting my investment that I lapse on payments for said investment, and then I turn into Frank from Hellraiser. And I lose all my skin.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Then it, like, it's just organs exposed? Or?
It's just muscle, baby.
There you go.
Okay. Everything exposed.
you have that body horror scene, but in reverse. When he's coming out through the freaking basement door, that's
exactly. And I just lose all my skin. It's very unsettling and probably very painful, I'd imagine.
Or you get discount skin and it's blue, and then you get cast in a James Cannon movie, and then you can buy regular skin. But
because
you're a star, because you're blue skin, it makes no sense to upgrade, because then you'll not have any money anymore, so you're stuck as a nobby.
Damn.
Yeah.
You don't have any money, but you'll need some Eiffel $65.
I'm blue. Thank you for that, Phil. Carly.
I feel like I would probably do. I feel like I would deal with my intestines. I have, like, stomach issues. But then, in my mind, I'm like, if I didn't have stomach issues, I could live in the woods and they would never find me. So, like, it would be fine. I would just go off the grid.
They would never catch you.
Yeah, I would do it. I would pay off, like, two of them, and then I would just go off grid and live in the woods, and it'd be fine.
You're swindling them. Okay.
I thought those people. I thought for sure it was, like, someone was going to do, like, I'm going to replace my lungs so I can, like...
Oh, shit. Wait, I want to take mine back.
I thought for sure that was what you were going to say, because that's what I was going to say.
Oh, that's smart. I didn't even think of that. Ooh, that's a toss-up. Ooh. I don't know. It depends on the day, I guess.
Lungs for smoking or intestines so you can hide off the grid.
I feel like if that was the world I lived in, I'd want to be off the grid. Like, I think I'd be okay with that.
Yeah,
because
that was the
with
world,
the lungs, they're going to catch you. Like, you can be high, just lungs, chilling, watching still... a movie. Like, oh, fuck, did I make my payments?
What's up? Fucking someone calling to collect your debt. What's up?
Oh,
very cool. All right, guys, I think we can wrap it up here. But before we do, I made another typo. Rat this movie.
Yes. Rat this movie, please.
Rat this movie out of 5 obnoxiously long Zydrate needles. Carly, you can go first. You're our guest.
Okay. So just with the caveat of like rating this movie for what it is, I'm giving it a 5. 5 needles, 5 Zydrate guns, 5 whatever.
Hey, all right.
Nice.
All right.
I'm going to give it 2.2. 2.2. I'm going to rat it 2.2. All right. I will give it maybe 2.5 actually. I'll bump it to 2.5. I think there's some talent there for sure. I'm not going to watch it again.
So and you know it. What? Yeah. You don't have to.
Yeah. But I am going to have that some of the songs stuck in my head, though. That's definitely going to happen. But I don't know if I'm going to be urged to watch the whole movie, but maybe just, like, pop that section on our YouTube or something.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Zydrate Anatomy is on Spotify.
Okay, well, there we go. Yeah. There's going to be...
You can get your impulses out.
Gonna be driving. Go. Yeah, okay.
It's a great song to listen to while you're driving. I from experience, can confirm.
Yeah, I'll give it a 2.2. That's like a barely 2.5, though. Yeah, more like 2.2 to 2.5. We'll see. So, yeah.
Nice.
That's me.
Cool. Phil?
I'm going to go 1.75. Yeah.
That's higher than I anticipated.
Yeah, 1.75. I would go 1.5 is just being mean. I say 1.75. Was not a fan. Fwen, I envy you that you are capable of having a song in this movie stuck in your head. I wish I got that pleasure, but no, I did not.
Wait, the Kanye version, dude. You'd be talking about that shit the whole time.
Yeah. No, this wasn't for me, honestly. There were so many things I just was just not a fan of. And I want my 2 hours back, but hey, they're gone, and we're going to keep watching bad movies until we're dead, you know? We're just going to keep doing it. I can't even compare this to The Room, because The Room has something that this movie does not, and that is a soul. And
Phil has more of a soul than this. Oh wow, we are different people.
Maybe
I think we are.
Yeah. I think she's about to fight you, man.
No. I am ready to be called names.
Digital.
I am ready to be called names because I didn't like this. I'm prepared.
I'm not going to call you names. I just think you're being really harsh.
No.
You hurt Webster's soul.
Man, okay. I am surprised this was not part of Trash Month. There, I said it.
See, I'm not going to call you names either. I'm just going to feel bad for you because apparently you hate fun.
And that's... No, I'm convinced you guys don't like fun because you like this. We're different.
I don't know who to believe anymore. Yeah.
Oh man! As I mentioned, there was a point. As I mentioned earlier, there was a point where I was literally falling asleep because of how bored I was. But hey, Joan Jett popped up, and I was like, "Hey, there's Joan. Hey, Joan Jett. Hey, cool." And I was like, back to my eyes getting heavy. And it was hard for me. Phil, I struggled. But
this is a glorious moment for you to practice one of the things that you preach on Instagram, which is sometimes people like movies that you just don't get.
What?
Sometimes we just have to accept it with grace.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally understand it. Whenever I like geek out for a David Lynch movie or something like that, people are just like, did we watch the same movie? Because I hated this fucking Eraserhead movie. And I'm just like, well, hey, man, like, you know. Yeah, so I get it. You know, I totally get it. You know, it's film, baby. Subjective.
Subjective. And also, this is also coming from me, the person who picked this movie, but also is giving it a hefty 3 Zydrate needles. It's okay. Not, like, it's a good movie, like, for fun, but in no way am I just like, this is a good movie.
Right. I think it just did what it was trying to do, and I give it 5 for that.
I think that is a great metric for that. But, interesting.
Wildly different takes across the board. This is interesting.
But please do not let this discourage you from watching Rocky Horror, dude. For the love of God, watch Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, this doesn't even hold a candle to that.
Yeah, 100%. Also, Phantom of the Paradise. Please watch Phantom of the Paradise, dude.
I've been wanting to watch Phantom of the Paradise for a very, very long time.
That is Brian De Palma, baby. I think that movie turns 50. I think.
Wait,
this
what?
Year?
Well, I want to watch it because fucking Berserk based.
The helmet.
The helmet.
Yeah. Griffin. That's
Griffin.
Right.
Yeah. It's based off of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Big time.
Oh, that's Griffin as fuck. Okay.
So yeah, don't let this, you know, leave a bad taste in your mouth when it comes to the subject of musicals, dude. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and wrap up for this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And thank you so much, Carly, for fighting for your life with me.
No, this should never
I'll go to bat for this movie anyway.
And I knew you
should have told her to bring my brass knuckles.
Carly showed me this movie, and the second I was like, I want to cover another horror musical, but I don't feel like emotionally ready to do Rocky Horror because I feel like that would be like a whole endeavor. Although that will probably be another birthday pick because my birthday is in June and June is Pride. So I feel like that's just a perfect like coincidence of just like we have to cover Rocky Horror during a birthday month for me. But I just wasn't like I feel like that would be a huge project. So it's not
we
quite ready.
We gotta plan ahead a whole showing and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta plan ahead for Rocky Horror. And I was just like, but we could totally do Repo. And I immediately thought of Carly because Carly introduced me to Rocky Horror and Repo.
Yeah. Mm. I will be personally offended if I'm not invited back for the Rocky Horror episode. I'm just putting it out there.
We're guaranteed.
Rocky Horror, yeah. Rocky Horror, absolutely. So, on that note, let's see. Next week, we are staying. We have another guest joining us next week. I don't think things are going to be as heated, but we are taking a dive into folk horror, one of my favorite subgenres, and we are talking about a film that also slightly divisive, I think. I don't know necessarily amongst the group, but we'll see. I'm very excited to talk about it. Anthony's writing this one, so
I'm so psyched. I can't fucking wait. Actually,
when you say folk, this one was more emo. So you saying the next one is folk. So I'm thinking this is going to be like a Lumineers ripoff?
Like a Mumford & Sons.
Mumford
&
Sons? A lot of stomp, stomp, hey?
A lot of clapping and stomping. No, so this, just stay tuned. And that episode comes out on my actual birthday. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast, which is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. You can find Phil on Instagram and YouTube at Phil Acevedo. And you can find Carly. Where can people find you, Carly?
Okay. You can find me on Instagram. My Instagram is Goddess of Stuff and Things. You can also find, we are just a little baby podcast compared to you, just but a little speck right now. But you can find us on Spotify at What Haunts You and on Instagram at What Haunts You Pod.
And their podcast is very fun. I've been listening to it. It's very fun. I'm enjoying it quite a lot. So check it out. You have my endorsement.
Thank you.
And your cat's clearly enjoying it back there too, huh?
Hmm?
What's going on? There's like noise in the back. I feel like somebody's animals are going crazy.
Okay.
I did hear it, but I wasn't sure who it was. But either way, let's go ahead and call it here. And then if you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed wherever you get your podcasts and you leave us a little review, whether you are on Spotify or iTunes. It does help other people find the podcast and it means the frickin' world to us. And I would take it as a personal birthday gift if you did so.
Oh, yeah.
So
nice.
On that note, Zydrate comes in a little glass vial.
A little glass vial.
A little glass vial. Bye,
sure,
guys.
Bud.